It's Wednesday, April 29th, and welcome to Higher IQ. You felt this. Someone breaks your heart and your chest physically aches. You get terrible news and your throat tightens so hard you can't swallow. You're nervous before a presentation and your stomach flutters. You cry, and afterward you feel lighter, as though something physical was released. Emotions are supposed to be mental, abstract, happening in your mind. So why does your body react as if something is physically happening to it? Why does sadness produce liquid from your eyes? Why does anxiety make your hands sweat? Why does heartbreak hurt in your actual chest? The answer is that your body doesn't just experience emotions, it helps create them. And the line between a feeling and a physical sensation may not exist at all. In 1884, a psychologist named William James published a paper that proposed something most people found ridiculous. The conventional understanding was simple. You see a bear, you feel afraid, and then your body reacts. Fear comes first, then the racing heart. James argued the opposite. You see a bear, your heart races, and then your brain interprets the racing heart as fear. The body reacts first. The emotion follows. James wrote, "We feel sorry because we cry, angry because we strike, afraid because we tremble, and not that we cry, strike, or tremble because we are sorry, angry, or fearful." A Danish physician named Carl Lange independently proposed the same idea around the same time, and it became known as the James Lange theory. For about a century, most scientists dismissed it. The idea that the body could generate emotions rather than merely express them seemed to give the brain too little credit. Then the evidence started arriving. In 2010, a study examined people who had received Botox injections in their foreheads, which paralyzed the muscles used for frowning. Compared to controls, the Botox patients reported less intense negative emotions. They weren't just looking less sad, they were feeling less sad. The inability to make the facial expression was apparently reducing the emotional experience itself. A similar study found that people who held a pen between their teeth, which forces the face into a smile-like position, rated cartoons as funnier than people who held the pen with their lips, which prevents smiling. The face wasn't just reflecting the emotion, it was partly generating it. This doesn't mean James was entirely right. Modern neuroscience views emotion as a loop rather than a one-way street. The brain generates a response, the body reacts, the body's reaction feeds back to the brain, and the brain updates its interpretation. But the key insight from James has held up. The body is not a passive vehicle for emotions. It's an active participant. What you feel in your chest, your throat, your stomach, those sensations aren't side effects. They're part of the feeling itself. Humans are the only species that cries from emotion. Other animals produce tears to lubricate and protect their eyes. Only humans connect the tear glands to the emotional circuitry of the brain. Charles Darwin called emotional tears purposeless in 1872. He was wrong, and the chemistry proves it. Your eyes produce three types of tears, and they are not the same substance. Basal tears are the thin film constantly coating your eyes. Reflex tears flood your eyes when you cut an onion or get dust in them. Emotional tears are chemically distinct from both. They contain higher concentrations of stress hormones, including adrenocorticotropic hormone and prolactin, and they contain leucine and enkephalin, a natural painkiller related to endorphins. A 2023 study found that even the chemical profiles of happy tears and sad tears differ, with sad tears showing metabolic signatures linked to serotonin and estrogen pathways, and happy tears associated with entirely different metabolic processes. The emotional context of crying leaves a measurable chemical fingerprint in the tears themselves. This is why most people feel better after crying. The physiological sequence goes like this. Emotional distress activates the sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight response. Your heart rate increases, your breathing becomes irregular, stress hormones spike. Then crying activates the parasympathetic nervous system, the calming counterpart. Heart rate slows, breathing regularizes. The stress hormones that spiked are partially flushed out through the tears themselves. The act of crying is a chemical reset. Your body is literally excreting stress through your eyes. The lump in your throat has its own mechanism. When you're under emotional stress, the vagus nerve, which connects your brain to your major organs, opens the glottis wide, the the muscular opening in your throat that controls airflow. This is part of the fight or flight response. More air in, more oxygen available. The problem comes when you try to swallow or speak while the glottis is forced open. The swallowing muscles and the stress response are pulling the throat in opposite directions. That conflict produces the tight, swollen feeling you experience as a lump. There's nothing physically stuck in your throat. It's two competing nervous system commands fighting over the same piece of anatomy. The butterflies in your stomach follow the same logic. Your gut contains over 100 million neurons, sometimes called the enteric nervous system or the second brain. When the fight or flight response kicks in, your body redirects blood away from the digestive system toward the muscles you'd need to run or fight. The reduced blood flow and altered nerve activity in the gut produce the fluttering, dropping sensation you feel as butterflies. The emotion is in your mind, the sensation is in your gut, and your brain uses the gut sensation as evidence that the emotion is real, reinforcing the feedback loop that James described over a century ago. The most dramatic proof that emotions have a body is a condition called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, commonly known as broken heart syndrome. First described in Japan in 1990, it's a condition in which intense emotional stress causes the left ventricle of the heart to temporarily balloon outward and stop contracting normally. The heart literally changes shape. The bulging ventricle resembles a Takotsubo, a Japanese ceramic pot used to trap octopuses, which is how it got its name. The presentation mimics a heart attack, chest pain, shortness of breath, abnormal EKG readings, elevated cardiac enzymes. Patients are rushed to the catheterization lab, and the doctors find clean coronary arteries, no blockage, no plaque. The heart is failing because the brain flooded it with catecholamines, stress hormones like adrenaline and noradrenaline, in quantities so extreme that the muscle couldn't handle it. Over 90% of cases occur in postmenopausal women, and the triggers are what you'd expect: the death of a spouse, a devastating diagnosis, a sudden loss. But researchers have also documented cases triggered by positive emotional stress, a surprise party, a lottery win, a wedding. The heart doesn't distinguish between joy and grief at the hormonal level. It responds to intensity. Most patients recover within weeks as the heart returns to its normal shape. But not all. Takotsubo carries a mortality rate of 4-5%. People have died from broken hearts. This is not a metaphor. The emotional state produced a physical cardiac event that killed them. The phrase, dying of a broken heart, was folk wisdom for centuries. Medicine dismissed it until it found the mechanism. Researchers have also shown, through fMRI imaging, that social rejection activates the same brain regions as physical pain. When subjects looked at photographs of romantic partners who had recently rejected them, the secondary somatosensory cortex and the dorsal posterior insula, areas that process the sensory component of physical pain, lit up in ways indistinguishable from a thermal burn on the forearm. The brain processes a breakup and a burn using overlapping neural hardware. When someone says heartbreak hurts, they're not speaking figuratively. They're describing a neurological fact. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. Emotions aren't just mental events. They're physical processes that involve your entire body. William James argued in 1884 that you don't cry because you're sad because you cry, and modern research has partially vindicated him. Botox that prevents frowning reduces negative emotion, and forcing a smile changes how funny you find things. Emotional tears contain different chemicals than reflex tears, including stress hormones and natural painkillers, and the act of crying is a chemical reset that flushes those hormones out. The lump in your throat is two competing nervous system commands fighting over the same piece of anatomy. And broken heart syndrome is a real cardiac condition in which emotional stress causes the heart to change shape and malfunction, sometimes fatally. Your body doesn't just carry your emotions. It builds them, expresses them, and in extreme cases, is damaged by them. The next time someone tells you a feeling is all in your head, you can tell them it's also in their chest, their throat, their eyes, and their gut. That's not a weakness. It's how being human works. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.